You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Have you ever actually, like, flirted with Nikki?
I'm gonna go get some shots.
I'll come with you. If she means this much to you, and I know she does, say, Nikki, I think we should grab a drink sometime.
Nikki, wait. I was gonna ask you,
What?
I lost my train of thought.
Hi.
Good night. What else?
Why?
One wish, Willow. You only get one wish. I wish Nikki Freeman loved me more than anyone in the entire world.
I love you so, 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 so much. A love only the branch of a willow tree could conjure.
It's weird how you two are dating all of a sudden. Like, super dating.
I think Nikki is going through something.
Like what? Is she okay?
No.
Jeez, what kind of spells you put on her?
Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion and I'm joined by Quinny and Jill. Hello.
I love you.
Oh,
I love
shit.
You. I love you. I love you. I love you. I
Why won't you love me?
Why won't... Oh, jeez. Okay. Look, I didn't make...
Why don't you love me?
Shit. All right.
Let me just smash this bottle real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just going to go...
Also, if you didn't want to watch the movie, there's the trailer.
Hey, yeah. Look, actually,
he's like, holy shit.
That's the official trailer, and the movie came out in 2025, so I don't know what everyone's worried about. Jeez, obsessed much? Yeah, it did. It had its official release at a film festival in Toronto in 2025.
Oh, right. Jesus. Okay.
Aha!
Well, that's not a fucking cinema release. That's a film festival release.
Yes, but it's pedantically correct.
Oh. Which is the most Dion thing I've ever heard you say.
Yeah. Yeah, Dion in a nutshell. Pedantically correct.
Excellent.
And then following it up with a little...
Okay, just...
We love you. Why don't you love us?
Yeah, just going to go to the technical difficulties while I work out why my co-hosts are being such cunts.
Did you break a stick?
Yeah, I'm just going to make a little wish under the table.
Yeah, did you wish for humility? Because we're giving it to you.
In spades.
Jesus. I think it's more you guys. What did you wish for? It's like,
wish to have a real good time.
I wish to actually tell Dion what I really think of him. Fucking hell. All right, okay.
Anyway, hi, everybody. Welcome.
Hi.
Stop obsessing about me, and let's get on to the film. We have two films to do. We've got a lot to do, and hello to everyone in the chat. We can see you all there. Hello. Oh, and Casper's out there subscribing. Thank
Casper's
you.
Casper's in there. Subbing like a boss.
The sub time. Today, we're doing two films.
Mm.
Got a lot on. This is quite good. Two independent films.
Yes.
Which
two films made by very young people.
Yes. Under 30.
One of which is technically an YouTuber.
Mm. Yeah, well, hey, look, you know, we're all YouTubers.
I mean, yes, actually.
Yeah, we are.
Yes.
What the fuck are you
Sorry, I had to
about?
Think about that for a moment.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Pedantically correct.
we've been on YouTube for a long time, Quinny, haven't we? Yes. We were there before they had ads on it, but it was free.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Remember
back in those days.
YouTube?
Yes, and when the highest resolution you could do is about 540.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's still how I like to... that's why I keep it. I keep it as a sense of history. I like to go out at 540p for all my content.
Yes. I mean, we are Twitch tubers, yes, but we are also YouTubers. Just a little while. Anyway, tonight.
We get the DCMAs.
Sorry?
We get the DCMAs.
Oh, yeah.
From YouTube going, hang on. It's like, oh, we have a video. We have a video in your video, and we think that you're copywriting. It's like, bitch, it's your video.
Yeah. Where do you think we got it from?
Anyway, sorry. What are we doing, Quiddy? You were talking.
Well, I mean, we've got two films tonight. One of them being actually, they're both interesting films. Obsession, directed by Curry Barker.
And, great name.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, I'm going to have a child and I'm going to call them Curry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, It means that he's going to be popular with like a fair amount of the world.
Yes. He's going to curry a lot of favor.
Get out.
Do you also, you know that he looks like, he looks like the super nerd version of Milhouse.
I haven't actually seen a picture of Curry.
Yeah, if Milhouse was a redhead.
Anyway, no shade. We're doing Obsession. And what else are we doing?
We're also looking behind the sofa and finding some back rooms. I'm very excited about because I've actually been a big fan of the back rooms shorts. I don't know. Do you call them viral videos? What are they? They're kind of like,
I suppose, found footage horror films.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, they're the kind of things that, like, in the early days of the internet, you would have like been literally shared by people who found it on some obscure website and go, look at this fucking thing. This is so weird. Yes. And everybody would have been like sharing it and stuff. Now everybody's like, oh, that's really cool. I like the vibe, but it doesn't have quite the same, like, is it real kind of thing that you really like for that kind of thing.
I'm looking forward to talking about the lore of the back rooms because this has a deep, dark internet past.
Yes, yes. But before we jump into any of those, we are talking about Obsession.
Yeah. Let's start with our obsession, our current obsession, or the world's current obsession. Is it obsessed with obsession?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Tell you about my favorite obsession.
Do you have a synopsis, Quinny?
I have no fucking clue what voice this needs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You feel me?
Freudian. How's that? How's that for one? There you go. That's one out of the side there.
Why not? Are you comfortable?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you lying back on the couch?
There we go. No, sorry. Freddy Kango's got one on there. He said, the bored employee at the One Wish Willow Company helpline.
Okay, I'll get a little close to the microphone. After breaking the mysterious One Wish Willow to win his crush's heart or whatever, the hopeless romantic finds himself getting exactly what he fucking asked for. But he soon discovers that, some desires come at some like really dark and sinister whatever, man. Like, I don't know. Shut up. That's it.
Wow.
Oh, of course, no notes on that synopsis. Everyone's very clear about what's happening in the film.
Not
right?
So much a shit accent.
Yeah, just a shit attitude.
Yeah.
A shit attitude. I said in the chat there, Quiddy, I said bored, not on ketamine. fucking hell. Jesus. He's in a K-hole, everyone. Quiddy in a K-hole. That's going to be it. Next time an accent comes up, what accent you know, I'm going to yell at Quiddy in a K-hole.
Look, Casper enjoyed it.
Yeah, great.
Casper appears to have enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Obsession. Now, I'm very keen and I'm very curious to how people took the film and like in which direction they were taking the film, because I have a comparison that sounds a little strange. I'll get to it a little bit, but I'm just right now I'm interested. Like, Jill, Quinny, tell me, how did you tell the film? Is this a horror story, like a straight up thing? Do you think there's more subtext? What's your takeaways from it?
Yeah, I know, right, Jill?
I will say it's not a perfect movie. It has some sticky issues that I think could have been further developed in maybe some edits in the story. Maybe another pass with like an actual screenwriter. No offense in case there was an actual screenwriter on this film, but as far as I'm aware, Curry Barker is a bit of a throw shit at the wall and see what sticks kind of director from interviews that I have seen of his. So it was all pretty trial and error with the filming, cutting a lot of stuff out, redoing some scenes, and then just kind of like testing it to audiences and seeing how they reacted. And then it was just like, oh, they like that? Great, we'll just leave that in. So yeah, it's a bit of, you know, taste it and see. But overall, I enjoyed the film. It's one of those classic monkey paw tales, except this time it's with a stick that you snap and you can get a wish. And of course, in those classic kind of moves, it always backfires. It's got a nasty recoil on it. I just wasn't a fan of how we got to that point. I thought it was really kind of sloppy in the opening storytelling of how this guy actually came across the One Wish Willow. And that was a stretch. And it kind of threw me out. I'm like, oh my God, really? But then once everything kind of snowballs and it carries on with the film, I was into it. The one thing that really kept me in was the performance by Indy Navaretti.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. She was great.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering where you've seen her before, she played Sarah in Superman and Lois.
Yeah. Which it was very confusing because I was looking at the cast list and I saw Sarah and I was like, oh no, hang on, that's the other one. Fuck. No.
Yeah. There is a Sarah in this film. Yeah.
It's a lot of ideas, and like it feels in a lot of cases like a whole bunch of like short little creepy as fuck scenes, and not everything kind of works, but when it does the proper creepy shit, it works really well. There was quite a lot of it that I'm like, oh no, that's proper fucking unnerving.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
There's creative camera work, really creative lighting. There was a scene that I really enjoyed. Nikki's first appearance kind of after the wish has taken effect, and they do some really clever stuff with lighting. It's those kind of things that really lend to the horror elements of the film.
And it's working quite well. Look, I mean, look, for a film that it was under $1 million to make,
Jesus, really?
Yep. It's made $322 million at the box office. It cost $750,000 to make, although, you know, creative stories behind the scenes as supplied. It was an independent production, so it wasn't a SAG role, and everyone was doing it for a much reduced rate in order to do it.
I hope they got something on the back end.
I don't think so, but, like, that's the nature of these things. They crush these out all the time. Like, these things get produced all the time, and, you know, you hope that something works out that way, but also, don't know, not going to get into that. I'm going to say I'm going to make a comparison to another film.
Okay.
And I kind of actually go, yeah, this feels like a similar thing because of the themes that go through it. As I look at Fight Club and I look at Obsession and I go, it's the same kind of movie because some people are going to take away a very shallow understanding of it. And other people, when you look at the subtext and go through it, they're going to be like, oh, my God, that's terrifying, but not for the people you think.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, in this one, like, you know, I watched it and I like it. And you know, some people I've spoken to about, they're like, oh yeah, that's the one where the guy gets a crazy girlfriend. And I'm like, no,
no,
no. And I think it was very funny about how they actually named the male character Bear.
Yeah.
So, which one are you going to choose?
Would you choose the bear?
The man or the bear? Oh, I choose the bear. No, don't choose the bear. Just not this bear. Not this bear. But yeah, look, it's just really, it's actually a solidly made horror that is doing the best it sort of can, and it has got the right legs and it's got that right connection in there because it has all those things. It's something that I would have said, like, people would have gone to see on a Tuesday night and, you know, you would have just had a lot of people packing it out and then the word of mouth spreads and then they go, oh, it's really cool and you see this and that kind of stuff. But, yeah, sometimes I see people taking the wrong message out of it.
But so what do you think is the right message to take from it?
Dude, we've got to do something about young men in this country and every country. The internet is a bad place for dudes. They need to work on their emotional skills because they're causing harm with their decisions.
Like on its surface level, it's like, wow, you know, obsessed anybody is terrifying. And you know, love taken to an insane extreme is terrifying no matter what. But yeah, the undercurrent, the core thesis of it, is that, you can't control these things, you know? And as a dude, you can't be like, I just want to make this happen.
Well, it's just that it's a very, you know, emotionally stunted way of looking at things, which is like, I'm obsessed and I wish someone was obsessed with me because then it would be fine because I'm obsessed. And then you realize you're not actually obsessed. You're just poorly socially managed, or you've poorly socially managed the situation. And it's just kind
I love both of these responses, and I love that you guys are, you know, you are good guys, and not in the good guy TM nice type guys. Of way, but but you are genuinely good human beings, and I appreciate that you're able to articulate this. I want to say that the narrative of this film is female autonomy and men's ability or lack of understanding that female autonomy means that they don't owe you shit. And so when men end up feeling dejected by being rejected by a woman, they don't understand that it's not up to them to do something to convince this woman that they are worth dating, but it is in fact her choice to not be interested in you.
Yeah.
And I think that is kind of what the story is touching on.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I'm currently reading, and I don't know why the fuck I'm reading it.
Okay.
I'm reading Ready Player 2. Like, I had it on Audible. I'd downloaded it years ago, and I was like, oh, yeah. Because back then I was like, oh, yeah, that'll be fun. And then I listened to the audiobook of the first one, and I couldn't fucking handle it because listening to somebody else being that much of a fucking prat is really hard work.
Yeah,
we know, Quinny.
Hey.
I'm just throwing the shade where I get them.
I know. Fucking, but Ready Player 2 is actually one of the most fucking toxic things that I've ever fucking listened to in my life. And all of the disgusting fucking, I did this because I'm so good, and I got this girl because I was so good. And, you know, and then we broke up because she didn't understand me, but I was doing all these other things, but they were the right things to do. And I'm like, the only reason I'm finishing the book is to find out whether or not the author actually knows that he's written the worst fucking character or whether he's going to try and redeem him in some way, shape or form. And then I'll know that Ernest Cline's a complete cockhead.
Well, we don't have to talk about Ready Player 2.
This film, that's a whole fucking thing.
I'll say, though, I didn't find Bear to be a particularly toxic kind of guy. He doesn't really come across that way. I think he's
No.
just really the kind of chosen him as like this narrative vehicle for this societal, problem. But he's just kind of misguided in a way of like he's a gutless piece of shit. Like, if you had just been honest with her and said, "Hey, I do have feelings for you," then she could have honestly said one way or another how she felt. And in the start of the film, she gives him the
The opening.
opening. She's like, "Just tell me, do you like me?" And then
He pussies
he's,
out. He
yeah,
just completely.
exactly. Really.
I mean,
Yeah, gutless, absolutely gutless.
I mean, it's this, it's not that he's presenting or doing anything that in any particular way goes, he's a problem, which is where I think you're right. It convinces the audience. It's like, oh, maybe it's just because she was like bad or he's done something or it's like, no, the thing is that he's made a bad choice and he doesn't know how to do this because he's obsessed with an idea. And then when that is shown as the results of that, when it's the actual horror story is she is unable to control herself, even though she desperately doesn't want to. Like this is like it's more of an exorcism. It's like The Exorcist kind of thing. She's demon possessed
I was
and she
reading an
can't do anything.
article by a psychologist about this film, and they quoted this excerpt from a book that another psychologist had written, and I forget the name of the psychologist and the name of the book, but it was basically about like men and romance. And they observe that when a man's projections on a woman evaporate, he announces that he's been disenchanted, not disappointed by her, but by the fact that she turned out to be a subjective human being rather than the objective embodiment of his fantasy. And that's kind of what we're dealing with in this film. Like, he has this fantasy version of what a life could be like with Nikki. And then when that comes to reality and he realizes, oh shit, maybe this isn't what I wanted after all. It's too late.
And he's desperately trying to undo it, you know, as things are spiraling out of control. And I go, yeah, see, now you're realizing. And you know that you can't undo it, but you did
Yeah,
know
but do
when you
you
were
see
going
the
in.
ways that he's trying to undo it? He's doing it without confronting her again. He's taking the coward's way out.
I mean, admittedly, there are reasons why I wouldn't want to confront her either.
Hey,
Um,
she's doing the
because
best she
she's crazy,
can.
Quinny.
Yeah. It was more the pissing and shitting and the vomiting on herself and stuff.
Okay.
No, but I love that. It's almost this strange slow zombification of her because, you know, and also like the scariest moments I think for me were the bits where she comes out of it.
Oh
You
yeah.
know, and she returns to somewhat because her other alter or the obsessed one, you know, is asleep. I think that's how they explain it. And
Oh yeah, that was creepy as
they're the
fuck.
most terrifying parts of
Those are
it
really
because you just
vicious.
realize this poor girl, the whole story is just like, oh my God, you know, for women. But I mean, hey, I don't know. Is that trying to say things about women in abusive relationships and how they're trying to protect themselves and they have to do these things because that's just what that is and, you know,
Sorry,
the
Prank Hanger
psychological
made a
component.
really, really good point in the chat. Like he says, I don't know, when I think of Bear, the first thing that comes to mind is him asking, "Is it really so bad being with me?" Like, there's some fucked up shit happening, and his takeaway from that is somehow, "Is it that bad being with me?" Because he doesn't believe her being, obsessed with him or whatever, and he thinks that she's fucking him around or whatever. And it's
That
like,
does definitely push him into toxic
oh, yeah.
because that's not the question. It's that you didn't give her a choice.
And it's like he's forgotten that or not, doesn't realize it or something.
Honestly.
Should we go and have a little clip and then do a rating before we move on to the
Sure.
next one?
Yeah. Get
Okay.
down with the
A
creepiness.
little bit more of a clip. We'll just see some of the creepy.
Bear, I love you so, 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 so much. I don't think I could live without you.
You love me more than anyone in the world?
Yes, more than anyone.
Nikki.
Yeah?
Does your dad really have cancer?
No.
What?
No. What? Don't do that! I thought we were having a nice day.
We are.
Why does it matter? I thought we were having a nice
day.
We are.
It's okay.
Yeah, are you having a nice day?
No. I love her so much. God, yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah, I think she's great. Like she's going to be one of the. She's going to be a horror icon, I think. Now,
the faces, like the really
oh,
sad,
the frowny face,
frowny yeah. face.
The one the eyes.
The one that fucked me up though is where, like, you know, he leaves for the day or whatever, and she's just standing there,
yeah.
and with the like a big smile, but the eyes twitching, and you're like, oh no, oh no, 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 no,
oh no, no.
I don't like that at all.
No, look, well, if I'm going to go to this, I don't want to give too much away, apart from the fact that the trailer pretty much, it gives away the idea of it, but
gives
the actual
the whole bloody movie,
but the actual specific crazy parts or horror parts of it, you know, did you get a good scare? Jill, you love a horror movie. Did you get enough of your thrill factor?
It wasn't scary.
Yeah.
No, it was creepy at moments and yeah. I jumped a couple of times, but that was only because they were cheap. But
yeah.
No, it wasn't scary.
I don't know. Like it worked for me. Like there was enough in there that I was like, yeah, okay, that's pretty fucking creepy, and I don't like it. So
it didn't go to the weird way that it could have. Like I would compare it to something like Barbarian that had the same kind of scare factor stuff in it, but it didn't go to.
Yeah,
that
I mean, it really
twist.
Could have pushed some more boundaries, but
yeah, and it wasn't your Evil Dead kind of thing.
No,
but you know
that's. That's not what the story was.
I gotta say, it's a good film. I'm actually really happy that it's making its kind of bank and it's getting its attention out there. And for a first film,
yeah,
go Curry.
Yeah, let us hope that the takeaway from this is a healthy one, which is we should tell more interesting and creative stories, not just we need another one of these films.
And with a bit more money, with a bit more money, you can hire some more writers or do a few more passes.
Yeah.
Maybe workshop the actors a bit longer. You know, that could work. Anyway, I'm going to give it 80 out of 100. There you go. There's my score.
Oh, shit. Oh, Dion's in with fucking ratings already.
We have another film to do.
Oh, my God, yes. Right.
I'm just reminding you of that way. It's two tonight. We can't just sit here and go.
I don't know if I go that high. I think I'll just
really?
I'll give it a 70.
A 70?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
It was good. Needed a bit of work. Needed a bit of polish.
A little bit of polish.
I enjoyed it.
But for a zeitgeisty little thing that came out, I'm like, is Obsession good? I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm gonna go 80. Yeah. Like
okay.
Yeah. I found like I thought it was pretty fucking effective. And the visual stuff of her, I was like, oh yeah, no. No, she really hits the creepy tone. But yeah, he's a fucking dickhead.
Oh man, look.
I likened it to Companion meets The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I can go with that.
I'll go for that too. I mean, like sales in One Wish Willows are going to be amazing. And also, it's what a great gift for someone this year. Yeah.
Yeah. Are these things real? I don't know. I've
Make
never
sure
heard
you
of
it. Word it correctly.
I want
$1 billion.
In
your wording.
Yeah, I did like that one. The simplicity of that one. I want $1 billion, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yep. Don't worry. The One Wish Willow is a real thing that has been made, and it's sold out. But of course,
right? Yeah. Definitely need some good genie proofing on this one. Right. Well,
are we moving on? Shall we?
Yeah.
Moving right along.
We're going from obsession to the back rooms of this place and watching the trailer.
I found something. In the store.
Okay. What did you find?
The place. I found a place. Sounds, but you gotta understand, it's massive in there.
I'm not saying I don't believe you.
Okay, I'm gonna come back here with proof.
All right, you feel me?
Yeah.
Follow my lead.
Clark, what is this?
It's what I'm trying to figure out. I've been here every night since I found the place, and I still barely scratched the surface. All right, just take it slow.
Pull me up!
What do you see?
All these rooms. This place builds them. It's like a maze. It just goes on and on. Sometimes I'm scared I'll get lost.
Clark, can you hear me?
I don't understand. What is this?
Am I right?
Hello?
There you go. Is that a bit creepy? I don't know. What's going on?
Definitely creepy.
This is kind of fun. No?
Yeah.
Didn't like it? Well, Quinny, this time I would like to know what Back Rooms is about. But could you not be on ketamine this time? Could you do it as a store mascot? A pirate theme. Yeah, pirate voice.
Pirate themed. Okay.
Store mascot.
Yes. Yes, I can do that.
Excellent. What's Backrooms about, Quinny?
Yar me here, hearties. After a therapist's patient disappears into a dimension beyond reality, she must venture into the unknown to save him from cheaper furniture and and excellent savings. Isn't that right, Polly? Fuck if I know. Jesus.
Okay. Yes. Perfect. No notes.
I mean, that's an odd way of, like, I don't know, because this is, they're sort of laying this up as being the story of the therapist. And I feel like it is, but I don't know. Like, I feel like the narrative.
There's two narratives here.
Yeah. Yeah, like after a therapist's patient disappears, it's like, okay, well, that's kind of what I thought of as the lead character for the first half of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I need to go into internet lore.
Okay. Go deep, Jill.
Teach us, Jill. You seem to have this.
If people have or have not heard about creepypasta.
Oh, yes.
Creepypasta was an internet phenomenon from, like, I don't know, late 2000s, early 2010s.
Oh, yeah. Love creepypasta.
Big 4chan thing. 4chan, the message board, just in case we have very young people here.
Jesus.
And here is my time dilation that is completely off. Apparently, the original backroom photograph that was posted on 4chan was in 2019. I'm like, that doesn't sound right.
What?
That doesn't sound right.
No.
That doesn't sound right. So it was a message board on 4chan. People's like, post an image of something that just feels off. And This yellow empty office space was a picture that was posted, and then someone took that image and then wrote a short story about it, about like a liminal space in a back room and there being entities back there and stuff like that. And then we have young Kane Parsons, who I believe is like 20 or 21 years old, making this movie, that took that and made found footage videos about 4 or 5 years ago on YouTube. And then now it's a feature film.
Yes. And
crazy.
I love that we're now in this thing where, like, you know, internet lore and internet memes and stuff like that are now becoming the stories of today. Like the creepypasta stuff, there was a lot of stuff that came out of creepypasta.
Oh, heaps.
Like there were a lot of, you know, TV shows and probably movies and things like that that were inspired by or came directly from creepypasta.
Yeah, I mean, Severance is definitely inspiration from that backrooms creepypasta. And if people aren't aware of what the word creepypasta actually means, it's just one of those words that's kind of evolved. It came from the word copy pasta, which is like a fun way to say copy paste, because it's just like it was message board stuff. You're just continually copy pasting people's previous posts and expanding upon it. And that's where this kind of came from, but in terms of like creepy stories being passed around on message boards.
Yeah. Some of the ones that probably like Slender Man originally came from.
Slender Man is a creepy pasta. Yeah.
The Russian sleep experiment.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so many things that I just have not thought about in years.
Mm-hmm. The one that I actually quite enjoyed was Candle Cove. So this was a story of like some weird, obscure 1970s TV show that this person remembered watching and remembered it being really fucked up and weird. But when he asked all of his friends, nobody else could remember this show, but he could remember it in great detail. And that one actually got turned into like an anthology TV show.
Yeah. What was it called? By the Television?
That was very similar concept.
I saw the TV Glow.
Yeah.
That one. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there were like, what was the actual TV series? It had this weird character that was made entirely of teeth. It was all fucked up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sounds
Channel
fun.
Zero, that's what it was called. It was on the Sci-Fi Channel and it was called Channel Zero. But one of the things was about Candle Cove and stuff like that. And they did a fair amount of adapting creepypasta. Anyway, all of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, this one, Backrooms.
Yeah.
You know, thankfully, the history of it, thank you, Jill, for going through all of this is no one will admit to or is pushing for copyright because it just comes out of anonymous message boarding, and then that idea has just been run with and then added to and aggregated, and then someone has interpreted it and based it on that and started making stuff out of it. So it's this really interesting thing of provenance. It's like, whose idea is this? I know that he's made a film on it, but the film is based on the shorts that he made, based on the discussion boards, which is this collectivism of storytelling, which is people adding to stuff,
and
rolling through it. So, like, a very interesting kind of film and an interesting idea, and it plays with some things. I'm not sure it was 100% successful as a film.
Would agree, like it was quite a long film,
and I think
maybe
that was
a bit too long, and I'm not sure it knew what it was trying to say with its messaging.
That's
kind of got a little bit convoluted towards the end,
and the unfortunate thing is there's a really beautiful simplicity in those short films and also just the concept. The idea of liminal space horror.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, you're in a space, it's empty, it could be anything, it's between places, and there's something in it with you, creepy, like worked really well. And the shorts, you know, there's something that will...
Oh, and I feel like an early part of the movie exploring the back rooms definitely had that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like
Like there's.
he could have done well by just watching Being John Malkovich
Mm.
and then using some of that creepiness, but also that's what gives it a story to be able to hang your hat on. Because it, like, after a while I was just watching it going, oh yes, another back room.
But yeah, the thing is, we can't just have like 2.5 hours of just exploring nothingness. There needs to be some kind
Yeah.
of plot to follow and something to kind of hang your hat on. And I don't know if like the messaging of the story that they were trying to tell was very successful or very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the danger of doing anything where you actually delve a little deeper or you try to attach a full narrative is that you suddenly lock things in.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
you then take away, because I think the reason that like it works so well is because we fill in the blanks. Like
Yeah.
we're doing all the work on what it is that scares us. What is the thing that's chasing us? What is the thing that could have been in the next room? Why are they doing this? I don't know, but I'm filling in the blanks myself.
Yeah, but here they're trying to explain too much by getting real philosophical about what these two dueling protagonists are going through in their life
Yeah.
and trying to attach that to what is occurring in the back rooms and making that become the narrative for them exploring their trauma
Yeah.
and perhaps like trying to resolve that trauma as well.
Yeah. And I didn't care about their trauma.
Okay, but I did find the psychologist's story a bit more interesting because you don't really get a lot. You get bits and
Yes.
pieces of like memories, but you don't actually get to explore her exploring her own trauma. Where we kind of get that is from Chiwetel's character, Clark, because he seems to be the more vocal of the two and the one that is actively exploring the back rooms. But his story I actually found the most shallow and really boring.
Yeah. Like after a while, you're kind of like, yeah, okay, so you're kind of just angry.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my marriage broke down, like my wife just didn't understand me and I didn't have like the energy to really put any work into our marriage or have any empathy for her.
No, it turns
And
out.
so our marriage broke down and I'm angry about it.
Yeah, and it
It's
turns out I've got some anger issues.
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I mean, it, like, I don't like to compare stuff too much, but I mean, the last film we talked about was Obsession, made for $750,000. This one had a budget of 10 mil.
Wow.
So I kind of look at it and go, I don't know. I felt like they did a better job in the cheaper one.
Oh, God, yeah.
I
Like,
think the majority of the money was spent building the actual fucking back rooms because
yeah.
they built like acres of sets that was a real fucking labyrinth. Like
So you could
all the
walk in.
money was sunk into building those stages,
I don't know. And
which were incredible.
some weird, not particularly effective special effects. Like to me, I loved the thing that whatever it was that was chasing you around the back rooms in those original shorts,
Okay.
it was fucking creepy. It was inhuman. It was something, but it
Yeah.
was scary.
I kind of
The
enjoy not being able to see what it is. I
Yep,
think that's where the
absolutely.
horror comes from.
Yeah.
And in this one, the moment that we kind of get it locked down to being a thing and it's a specific thing
Yeah.
and then they can be interacted with.
It's like, oh, the thing that's chasing me is my inner psyche. Got
Yeah. Okay.
See, I think this
Cool.
is the thing. I think you're right. This is like one of those, it's like a horror story you're telling at a school camp kind of thing. The imagination and what people are coming up with themselves is actually the stuff that feeds it and gives it life by explaining it, by showing the monster, kind of like those ideologies. Unless you've got a real good reason or the real good hook or the story gets more interesting, then you've lost the thing that makes it interesting. Like, you know, the internet loves it because it was like, here, come up with a story about this one picture or this short video that's 30 seconds long. And it's like, okay, that's really creepy because my mind is going places. But in this one, it's like, it's a narrative. No, it's like, we're going to show you this for an hour and you're going to worry about these people. It's like, I don't know. I didn't really give a shit about anyone. Like all the people that were in there, I was just like, okay. And? It's like.
The real moments of horror and the stuff that I was enjoying the most was them exploring the back rooms and the camcorder stuff. Like, I'm sorry, but if you put a camcorder found footage in anything, I'm terrified. I don't know why. I don't know why, but that's just horrific for me.
It's like Blair Witch, though. That was the thing. Like, you know, this one, I think, was that strange bit where it had too much of a reliance on, like, Blair Witch is really good because most of Blair Witch is boring as fuck until it ramps
also,
up.
Paranormal Activity. There's a Japanese horror film called Noroi that's really fucking terrifying with found footage.
In this one, I feel like they just went a bit too hard and fast, or after a while, it was just kind of like, well, this is the reason we're doing this now. It's like, oh, okay, I guess.
Yeah. And there's ideas that kind of get touched on a little bit, but I kind of was like, okay, well, if we're going to explore that, maybe that's a more interesting plot thread to follow than two people's internal psyche. You know, there is the idea, and we've seen throughout all of the other shorts and everything, that there are people who have discovered this and are exploring it. And
yes.
Yeah. So
this is where another kind of tangle comes into it, like a third narrative, if you will, is that there seems to be some kind of science or government division that is researching the back rooms at the same time as well, which I feel kind of undermines everything else that they're trying to do story-wise by like kind of grounding it with this other thing.
Yeah,
it's like you either make it this obscure thing that might not actually exist, it might all be in people's heads, or it is a real thing, and then you have to like be able to ramp up the stakes.
You can't have both.
Yeah.
Like, because to me, the idea that there is a group in there that are exploring, and but then again, also, I guess you don't want to repeat what's been done in those shorts. And a lot of those shorts are around the idea that, you know, people are going in and exploring and getting lost, or, you know, falling afoul of the weird shit that goes on there.
You either make it one or the other. I don't think you can have both.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know how much of it is art imitates life, you know, with Kane Parsons' mother being a therapist. And his father being a visual effects artist. So,
you say storeroom manager,
pirate. But I feel like that was just one of those things I learned afterwards. I was like, oh, really? Your mum's a therapist, huh? Interesting. What are you consulting on that for? But yeah, look, I think it's a really for what it was, and for creating the world and the narrative out of it, and just making that gigantic fucking set. That was weird, like a gigantic weird set.
Yeah,
fantastic. It kind of did work. It is an interesting film. It's more interesting than a lot of the other stuff that's out there. And hey, this is good.
Great sound design. I really enjoyed the soundtrack because there were just moments where you're like, this is kind of like ambient background music, but then it starts to like melt into noise, and then you're like, wait, is this something that the characters can hear, or is this just sound? Like, kind of, I enjoyed that.
Well, also having the director doing half the composing, did it with who was it? Ido van Bremen is the other guy that did the music.
Okay.
So they did a co-score of it. So that was good. Like, that's kind of like a powerhouse.
I was kind of really submerged in the world. Like, between the two of them, I think Backrooms, I was more in it. And It had some scarier moments that I enjoyed. There were a few things that kind of kicked me out. I noticed continuity errors, and I don't know if they were on purpose because they were very obvious. So they could have been.
It's a liminal space there, Jill.
What kind of continuity errors?
Okay, well, towards the end of the film, when the psychologist enters the back rooms, she comes down the stairs of the furniture showroom to the bottom floor. She was wearing a blazer and had a ponytail on. And then when she sees the doorway masked off and then the whiteboard with all of the stuff on it, and she turns to walk towards the doorway, she no longer has the blazer and her hair is out.
Right. Okay. So not even she's not even in the room yet. So it's
That's
not like we
because
can go.
she'd already entered it and she had become a divesting branch of the unreality
Possibly. I
engine.
mean, that could possibly be it. I did explore a bit online afterwards just to see what other people were saying, and I feel like there were a few other viewers that said that they noticed other continuity errors that they think is probably purposeful, like times on clocks being different and that kind of thing. But there was also like a thing going around. I don't know if it's true or if this is just a rumor that like people are trying to start by watching the film, are saying that they're getting different endings in
I
some
have
ways.
heard that. Yeah.
I don't know, Jill. I reckon this is all just leading
I
in towards.
think this is going back to maybe we get back on the message boards. I think Reddit is the new place to go
This
and
is
post your theories and create new lore around
just
back rooms.
leading to Backrooms 2 Open Office. And all of
Which
these.
is a worse hellscape than anyone knows.
Ridley Scott's just kicking around back there.
Should we have a
Sorry, I'm going to
little.
have to ask you to come in again on the weekend and get lost for the rest of your life.
That's just
Need those
work.
TPS reports.
That's just work. Should we do a little quick clip and then
Yes.
come back and
Eat.
rate it? Yeah.
Little clip.
Just I like saying his name now. Chiwetel
Came
Ejiofor.
past. Yes.
Okay.
My mum loves me saying it because she can't say it. She's like, what's his name? I'm like, Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Chiwetel.
Ejiofor.
And just like the movie, this clip is boring and goes on for a long time.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Damn it. It's gonna make great for the audio podcast. There you go. What is going on? All right, ratings. You got any ratings for this one? What did you think?
I'm giving it a 70 again. I saw Backrooms and Obsession on the same weekend.
Oh, wow.
And
Wow.
yeah, I did.
The Whiplash.
Yeah, it was on a long weekend. I just went and took myself to the movies.
Nice.
Yeah, I found them both comparative in terms of needed some work.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoyed them enough, but they needed a bit of a polish.
Look, you know, I liked the effort made in Backrooms, and you're right. Like it really tried to raise that level from YouTube video to cinema kind of thing, while trying to stay true to the original and also expand it and make it there. I'm not sure every decision was great. I reckon you could have lost an hour of the movie at least. You know. You've stretched it out a fair bit, and also you're adding bits and pieces to make it more complicated than you thought. But again, this is the thing that was interesting about it was the weird space, and I think it was creepy, but not creepy enough because we got too much info. So I'm going to go for 65.
Okay.
Compare like I had more fun in Obsession than I did in Backrooms, but I mean I also liked Backrooms, you know, and hey. We like independent cinema.
We do love independent cinema, and we love that these things have done well. Yeah, it's a tough one because I'm kind of like I'm not sure which one. I really like Backrooms as a concept. I'm not sure I like Backrooms as a film. And as whilst I felt happy going, ooh, okay, we're going into the creepy space, and I love knowing that I'm in that, the actual overly explainy elements of it, I thought actually somehow dragged it down into being kind of pedestrian.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, like, eh, I'm going to go, I think 60-ish, 68, just for why not.
Sure.
It's, you know, it's quite successful at what it does, and occasionally there are some really good creepy bits, but when it, there's a point where it hits a bit where it suddenly is not moving and it's static and it's all about, you know, somebody being crazy, where I was like, oh, fuck, we've done this before. Like, you've got something that is so much more interesting and weird, and then you didn't know what to do with it, so you've fucking taken it back down to crazy person is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're being very critical, but I think that these are two movies from very young people. They're both debut feature films for very young directors. And I think it's incredible to have new voices coming in and being able to create art and doing it in such a way where they are putting it out there for people to have opinions about. And it is there to be critiqued. And I want to see more of this. I don't want to see Moana, the live action of the movie that we already had. I don't want Toy Story 5.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want another rehash of something that we've done before. We've been there, done that. Like, if you liked it, then just keep watching the same one. Like, you know, you have your favorite book that you'll always go back to. You don't need to have, oh, here's someone else's version of that and here's someone else's version of that. Let's get more young voices, new voices, YouTubers, like, get out there, keep creating. And I just want to say that, like, we were talking a bit in the break that, like, 824 is embracing AI. And I'm sure everybody here knows the way we feel about AI. But interviews that I've seen with Kane Parsons talking about how he made this movie, how he really only has YouTube experience, and somebody asking him what kind of advice would you give to filmmakers, he's like, I don't have enough experience. I feel I don't have enough experience to be able to be giving advice just yet. But, like, the only way that I got started was by just doing what I could do. Like, I'm a young person. I had access to this. I knew about 3D rendering, so I worked with that. Like, my, like, his backrooms videos, he was able to 3D render the human beings. He didn't have actors. He's like, to avoid the uncanny valley thing, I had them in hazmat suits. So, you know, I worked to my strengths. And, you know, if you can't afford software, you can find student license versions or free versions of other software, and just work to your strengths and work with what you can do. At no point did this kid say fucking, oh, just phone it in and use AI. Like, guys, our whole lives have been do what you can with the skills that you have or learn a new skill. It has never been take fucking shortcuts. I'm really tired of the shortcuts that are being churned out by Hollywood, and we're expecting to fucking pay money to go and watch it again.
If I can hear all of
And you've got... Yeah, 100% agree with you, Jill. Like, I mean, you know, we've got filmmakers like James Wan, who, you know, originally in that way, they've gone out, they did the same kind of thing, and now they're bringing other people along on the ride for these things. And it's really nice to see, like, for two freshman filmmakers who are coming straight out, this is amazing. It's one that's like the Philippou brothers, you know, it's people who've done stuff and put it out there and gotten some attention, and then are taking that and selling it on and doing interesting work.
And your debut feature film doesn't have to be fucking perfect. It doesn't have to be 100 out of 100. Like, you're making something and you're putting it out there to be discussed and talked about.
And, you know, like Kevin Smith, it's Clerks, you know, I'm just going to make it. I was going to make it for as much as I can. yeah, I'm going to make it for as much as I can. And it is like you go back and you watch Clerks and you say, that's not a, it's not a great film. The dialogue's snappy, but the rest of it's a pretty dodge.
But you don't get better unless you keep making stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. And you've got to make a few mistakes and you've got to like keep making, don't stop. That's the real trick.
And, you know, sure, we've made it. Like, our ratings might not be super high, but that doesn't mean that we want you to stop making it. Like, I want to see the next films from these two filmmakers.
Yeah. We only have five people in the chat every week, but we still keep making videos.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes it feels like we're screaming into the void, maybe yelling into the back rooms, but that's okay. It's fun.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think especially when you look in comparison to, say, Disclosure Day, you know.
Oh, God.
This gigantic fucking, like, behemoth with all of the money, all of the support, all of the Hollywoodness
with the director, with a decades-long career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can still make dog shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Karina, we hated Disclosure Day too. It was just fucking lazy shit. And I would rather watch 1,000 back rooms and a million more obsessions than another
Disclosure Day.
Or Avatar.
I mean, yeah. Oh, goodness.
Oh, fuck, yes.
Yep.
I think I watched the third Avatar at some point in time because I had clearly nothing better to do.
He was self-loathing that day.
I must have been. I think I must have been. And I was just like, fucking
Quinny, name me a character that's not Quaritch or Jake Sully.
Sigourney Weaver, weird.
What's her name? What's the character's name?
Yes. I don't know.
I don't know.
No good. Because plot. These things that are just squillions and squillions of dollars and have all of the writers and all of the energy behind them. Yeah. And yeah, we're still making pap. Yeah. Give me some more of this, please.
Yeah. Well, excellent. And speaking of that, now we have discussed how much we want to see that, what are we doing next week? Oh, it's the next.
We're going back to Hollywood slop. We're talking Supergirl next week.
I need more splooge. Give me a slop.
Bring back Sheriff Lobo.
We're strapping on the feed bag and going to DC first.
Yum, 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 yum.
Give me that DC.
Yeah. So they go, next week we're coming back to do review Supergirl. See how that's going to work out. Well, it's, you know, it's an Australian, Millie Alcock. She's there. She's the next big thing. I hope. And Jason Momoa finally playing the character that he wanted to play in the DC universe.
Not the weird Aquaman that was basically Lobo anyway.
Yeah. I'm cool, Aquaman. It's like, really? But I mean, they just couldn't. They couldn't figure out how to write Lobo in without going down the full silly.
Yes, and I'm totally down for them to embrace the full silly. I've liked the DC universe pretty much so far, like this version, the James Gunn version. So, keen to see what we get.
We'll see. We'll let you know. We'll come back. It is out on Thursday, isn't it?
Yes.
So everyone should have the opportunity to see it on the opening weekend. If you want, or do you want to throw some money at Backrooms and Obsession again? Sure.
I mean, I'd also tell you to go and watch He-Man again.
Sure.
Which, interestingly, I did see that this week, 3-4 weeks after it's come out, it's hit 100 million. So after making 30 million on its opening weekend, it's actually just kind of continued.
God damn it. I see this. It's in the chat too as well. And you know, Quinny, over the weekend, you and I caught up with a bunch of creatives and all we effusively could say was like, have you seen He-Man yet? And they're like, oh, no, I haven't got around to it. I was like, fuck's sake, go and watch He-Man. It's fun.
Go watch the fucking thing.
Go watch a fucking thing.
It's actually entertaining.
Go to the movies.
Get out there. Like, go and watch it. It's fun. There's a lot of fisting jokes.
Yeah. And a lot of talk about big swords and...
Yes.
powerful thighs.
Powerful thighs.
Yeah. So that'll take us through to the end of June, and then we'll work out what the fuck are we doing for July. Yeah,
that's right. Our taxes. It's the end of financial year, and we're going to do. We are going to do in July just four shows based on accounting. So it's The Accountant, The Accountant 2.
Oh, no.
And any other film that we can talk about taxes.
Oh, my God. Accountant 1 was better than Accountant 2. Welcome to my TED Talk.
Oh, dear. And, of course, there will be lots of TV. Sugar is back. Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon or whatever the fuck it is.
TPTOAEOFY. No, please, I don't want to do the accounts for this. For this. Yeah. Speaking of that, we have a Ko-fi link. Just click on that one.
Yeah, maybe.
Send us $5.
You.
Help us do our accounting.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Be real happy.
I like Predakanga's suggestion of But Why July.
Well, where is But Why? We need where. What has she been doing? Come on, But Why.
Working her But Why off.
Yeah,
he's working her But Why off. I'm not going there.
That has amused me greatly. Well, thank you so much for joining us. You're all wonderful, lovely people, and you're very creative and very talented. And you'd go out and make something cool if you want to.
Yes.
Or just watch a fucking movie, write a review, do whatever you want.
And also, don't forget to send us some suggestions of the things you want us to see in July. I know we have a few things that are coming out in July, which is interesting. There's Evil Dead Burn. There's The Odyssey.
Oh, God.
And some sort of
stick hot pokers in my eyes.
And then some sort of spiderish movie, isn't it, coming out soon?
Yeah.
Yes, there is a spider ham.
And also the live action Moana.
Nope.
Nope.
No, 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 no.
Nope.
No, 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 no.
Oh, dear. But let us know if there's something out there that we should be watching. I haven't returned yet to watch any of the TV. Like, I still don't know how For All Mankind has ended. I've got there. All those kinds of bits and pieces, but we'll get there.
We will indeed. And to those people, we've had a couple of conversations in recent days where people have said, we listen to the podcast. That's lovely. Thank you. We really appreciate it. We love it that you listen. Also, if you feel like telling us, send us an email or something. We love hearing from you all.
Yes. I had two conversations and they explained how much they liked listening to the podcast of the thing that they were doing. And I'm like, thank you. I have not heard that because you just didn't bother telling me. It was like, but I know you. If I write in, isn't that nepotism? Like, weird. I'm like, no.
It's fine.
I'll make you anonymous. Just tell us. I thought you'd want that live feedback there, Jill.
Yeah, that's great.
I think it's important every now and then to know that we aren't just yelling into the background.
Yes.
Yes, we are. We're a liminal space.
Your mum's a liminal space.
Wait, what?
Trapped in a glass case of emotion.
With a pirate.
Yar.
Yar. Oh, dear. Thank you. Thank you, Casper, for sending us some coffee for end of financial year. We need it.
We do.
I love a coffee.
We love you guys. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for turning up. Yeah, thanks for saying hi. Yeah. Go and see Backrooms and Obsession if you haven't. We didn't really give any spoilers away for it particularly. Yeah. We just gave our thing. Mm. And come back next week, next month, isn't it? No, it's still.
No, it will be the 1st of July on Tuesday.
It will be, yes.
Mm.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so come. Oh, no, no. Well, no, come back at the end of the month. Sorry. On the 30th, which is Tuesday the 30th.
Oh, is it Tuesday?
Before July for our last one of this year. But Supergirl. And I hope you all have fun. Except for the person who designed the Supergirl popcorn bucket. You should go into...
No, the drink cup.
Drink cup. Sorry. Yeah, you should go into the back room and never come out. That's where you deserve to live.
Terrible idea.
It's
never
just
put a
bad.
Trench coat on a drink cup.
Never make anything flesh colored. Nothing ever needs to be flesh colored.
I think it's supposed to be tan.
It's tan brown. It's flesh colored, fucker.
It's flesh colored. We all know.
Jesus
that.
Christ.
Yeah. Adsky saying the Spider-Man one is even more sus, and I haven't actually seen that one yet, so I know what I'm Googling after this.
Jeez. Yeah, I know what I'm Googling too. Can Quinny fuck the popcorn bucket? No. All right, everyone. Well, thank you. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.